So I'm here with Dr. Rachel Knightley, lecturer of creative writing at Roehampton University. So Rachel's released a new book, and it's all about how we interact with each other and our thoughts versus the reality. And the book is called Twisted Branches. So, Rachel, tell me more.
Sure. Last time I met you was when I was still directing for theatre, and a lot of what was happening in terms of me as a director and the way that you go into an actor's mind, and you don't go, here is what I need from you, you have to do it. You go, where are you in your mind? How do I get you where you and I have agreed we need this character to get to? And we work with that person. It's very much a partnership. And good directors don't sort of say, move your arm like this, smile at this moment. They find a way to make it authentic and make it real. And I'd been doing that for years as a director. And I was working individually with people on interview technique, on public speaking, on acting auditions. And what it was with all of it turned out to be coaching vocabulary. And as I started to know more and more about coaching, it became very apparent to me that that was the kind of teaching and lecturing for Roehampton University that, you know, that's what I'd been doing anyway. That was exactly how I thought. So doing that qualification just joined up with a lot of the theatre stuff that I had always known about. And I think Twisted Branches really is a result of that. What we've got is five generations of one family in one family house. Familial love, poisoned loyalty, and how we knowingly and unknowingly mess up and light up each other's lives. So how people affect other people, the patterns in behaviour that are often because we are so busy dealing with what we fear rather than what we want, that we can end up standing in our own way, and how relationships that could be absolutely lovely if you asked for what you wanted can be poisoned by us not being prepared to say who we are or what we want, but being more motivated by fear. And this has always fascinated me in relationships, but also in careers. So when I'm working with freelance writers and speakers, it's amazing how easy it is to think, oh, I couldn't possibly do that, or they'd want somebody more qualified for A, B, and C that you think you would actually love to do. And we don't ask. And this is something that has been so important to me as a freelancer and training other freelancers. It's all about knowing that it is okay to think, what do I want? What can I offer? And going and doing that. And that is how to have a successful freelance career. So when I'm coaching freelancers for writing and speaking and also social media, it's all that same thing. It's learning to step out of our own way and make the changes that we can make.
Because this can be like relatable to any, like you said, anything. It can be related to the creative industry as an artist or director. Not saying, you know, the fear of saying what you want. It can also be applied to, like you said, relationships between two people, you know, husband and wife, or you know, family members. And you know, again, the fear of the control of fear. That overrides overrides the actual, you know, doing.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because actually that control works better when you learn to listen, which is what coaching is. And somebody says you're talking for a living, lecturing and with coaching, what you're really doing is you're listening for a living, because as I can't say, the quality of your listening determines the quality of the other person's thinking. And it allows people to make connections. That's something that don't do. We're so afraid of what we might find that we're less likely to listen to each other. So you're absolutely right. It is about that. It is about the fear. But with creative industries particularly, we are unique. We can't not be unique. And being able to be curious about our ideas and allow our ideas to come out, that is how you get around writer's block. What writer's block is not having any ideas. It's having so many ideas that you don't know which lane to pick and you're overwhelmed. So that's how I work with people out of blocks, is getting them back in touch with the focus muscles that bring you into that state of flow, because it does put you back in touch with curiosity. It's no longer a fear. It's about, ooh, I wonder what's around the next corner. And suddenly you're applying for the jobs that you actually want rather than the ones you think, oh, I've got to get a sensible job, our help. And you walk into everything more wholeheartedly, and you make better career decisions, and you enjoy writing your fiction and your speeches and everything else so much more.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about the book and about the protagonists and the storyline?
Absolutely. there's a familial love triangle at the heart of it, and that is love in all of its hats. That there are times that they are best of friends and there are times that they are worst of enemies. Artist and matriarch Effie, who clings to the house five generations of her family, is called home. But are its ghosts haunting her, or is she summoning them? With Effie's death, which happens very near the beginning of the book, rejected protege Kerry Alice and daughter-in-law Veronica are fighting to lay her influence to rest in their own lives. But the question is always who is truly haunted and who is doing the haunting. And this is something that fascinates me, the influences of relatives and heroes and teachers in our own lives. And sometimes we will bring those influences forward and it can be a great thing. But sometimes actually the way people we've looked up to have made themselves unhappy, we take some of those lessons forward too. And it is about the patterns. So for that reason, it's a short story cycle. It's not chronological. You see all these different generations and you gradually piece together what the effects on each other have been through the generations and through the family and friendships.
Does the book give tips on how to deal with these fears?
That is a great question, how to deal with the fears in this book. Emotionally intelligent horror absolutely does give you tips on that. And survival is always about getting to know yourself as thoroughly as possible. So that is one thing. But the best piece of advice an editor ever gave me, that it is as true in life as it is in writing, and I think it is in the book, is say the thing. We spend so long writing other versions of what we see in our heads, and quite often reality is much simpler and much more direct. So say the thing. You want something, you feel something. Making it happen in the world is the way to peace, whereas editing something you haven't written, going over things in your own head that aren't in the world, that way madness lies. And that is the advice, not always through the characters following it, quite often through the characters not following it, that I would say you will find in Twisted Branches.
Okay. That sounds really, really interesting. And again, it goes back to, you know, you can apply this to, you know, to different ways of life. And yeah. And what was your inspiration behind the book?
I would say that every character I've ever written is a bunch of feelings I have had for different people. So nothing in here is autobiographical, but there will be something I experienced with this mentor and something I experienced with this teacher and this ex-lover and this boss. And, you know, when I was doing my PhD, maybe conversations I'd had with people at universities. Like, there are so many ingredients. The way I talk about it is like having an artist's palette of colour. But if we were painting, it's amazing that painters wouldn't stand in their own way by going, oh, I can't mix that colour with that colour. Somebody might not like it. But as a writer, there is a little bit of reluctance sometimes. And you need to be free to mix your memories, your imagination, your observations about the world, your questions about the world, and to knock the walls down between those things. So where it comes from is my interest in people. And there's a lovely image that Neil Gaiman uses about it being the compost heap, that what happens to you, everything you overhear, experience, say, do, it all goes on your compost heap, but it grows back as something else. So you'd never use somebody who was real, but you might use a little bit of them and a little bit of this person, and it all mixes together and comes back as something truer, maybe.
Okay. When did the book get released?
It was the 26th of October, and I had my launch at Barnes Bookshop in Southwest London, so down the road from Roehampton University.
Okay, and where can we find out more about the book?
Well, I'd love it if you'd come to the online launch, because there's going to be an online version of the launch next Friday, the 3rd of November. And if you go to rachelknightley.com or you come and find me at Dr. Rachel Knightley on Instagram, there are details all over the place about the online launch, so that would be a lovely way to get it. Or if you go to the website of Black Shuck Books, you can order it directly from the publisher. Or, of course, there are other...
Brilliant. Rachel, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for that.